Are you flesh or are you spirit? Are you flesh or are you spirit? Now, I know there are some who will say to me, the child of God is both flesh and spirit. That's correct. That's correct. But I mean in the context of religion, in the context of faith, in the context of seeking to be right with God, are you flesh or are you spirit? Are you flesh or are you spirit? Only one does you good. Only one will benefit. We see here in Romans 8 verses 1 to 3 particularly two states to be in. Only two. We say time and again that there are only two states spiritually to be in before God. You're either called by his grace or you are lost. If you haven't been called by his grace yet, you are either one of his sheep that must be called, or you are one of the goats who are called by the scriptures, by God, the reprobate, the passed over ones. There are only two states to be in. Yes, there are only two types of religion in the world. Now, those who are learning RE at school will be told there are many religions. There's not many religions. They have many arms, they have many tentacles. There are only two types of religion in the world. There are only two types of religion in the world. Two types only. They go by different names, but there's only two types of religion. Only one is spiritual, while all others, and you can underline all others, as you will see in a moment, how clear we are on that. All others are works, fleshly religion. Whatever name they go by. Now, most people who call themselves evangelical, Bible-believing Christians, who call themselves evangelical, Bible-believing Christians, would largely agree wholeheartedly with that statement I've just said. Wholeheartedly. They will believe wholeheartedly, agree wholeheartedly that yes, only one religion is spiritual while all the others are works, fleshly religion. They will agree with that wholeheartedly. But as I unlock, as I unravel what the statement really means, there is where the agreement ends. For yet none of them would agree there is no difference between Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Sikhs, Roman Catholics, Methodists, Pentecostals, most Anglicans, and sadly many non-conformist evangelical Baptists and Reformed religion. Nobody would agree with that, or very few would agree with that statement. Yet if your religion be not what God has ordained and what God alone has ordained, what God has ordained and only accepts, that is exactly the case. That is exactly the case. It's just a show. It's just a play at being religion. And if it's called Christian, it's just a play at being called Christian. Anybody can call their church, anybody can call themselves Christian? It's just a word. Once again, on the radio yesterday, I heard an interesting documentary about the Gaelic psalm singing tradition of the Western Isles of Scotland and how it's kind of dying out now, but how it was really a big thing in many years ago. Now, although we don't hold to this teaching that we sing psalms only, there's nothing wrong with singing psalms. But the interesting statement made by someone was, in singing these psalms, they were seeking to please God. And they said much of worship, much of what calls itself Christian worship, is seeking to please man. Amen, my soul was saying yesterday to that. Most of so-called worship today, so-called Christian worship, is seeking to please man, not God. For it's not according to what God has prescribed. It's not according to what God has said. No matter how wonderful the tune. If religion, if so-called faith is not according to what God has ordained, what God only accepts, what God has said is the way, it is no different from all pagan worship. That is exactly the case. For God is no respecter of persons. No respecter of persons. Whatever the tradition may be, he's no respecter of persons. The Lord Jesus saying to that woman at the well who thought that she should be accepted because she had some background in the worship of Jehovah. But in name only, being a Samaritan, it was in its essence paganism with the name Jehovah at the top. Just as the majority of Christianity holds the name of Christ, but it's pagan worship. And the Lord Jesus had already said to this woman, you worship whom you know not. He says to her in John 4, 23 to 24, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. That's the only worship God receives. That's the only worship God accepts. That's the only worship God will tolerate. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Otherwise, it doesn't matter what type of building you're meeting. Now, in this portion of scripture, in the beginning of Romans 8, which addresses this great good news for the child of God, that we have passed from condemnation, have no fear of condemnation. I want to look at the outset at the other side of the coin. For I do believe this passage of scripture is totally misunderstood. Totally mistaught. If your Christianity, your belief, your teaching, your religion is not totally and utterly according to Christ and his righteousness alone, it is most certainly rejected by God. It is most certainly rejected by the Holy One. For see this solemn warning from this verse. People, don't point out the warning here. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so therefore, those who walk according to the flesh are under condemnation. Don't miss that. See the solemn warning here. If you be seeking to follow Christ according to any works you think you can do, you who are here this morning, do you think it does you any good? Any good to your soul? Any good to your relationship with God by being here? None whatsoever. You're no better off than anyone walking up the street. I'll go a stage further. If you are not solely leaning on Christ, and you think coming here, or at home reading your Bible, or saying some kind of prayer, or singing hymns with great gusto earns you some kind of favour with God, please, please be warned. You are no better off than someone who is residing in a maximum security prison right now. No better off. Works of the flesh, they will earn no favour with God. Be they the teachings of so-called Christian theologians, or law observance, seeking to live by the Ten Commandments, seeking to live by what's contained in the Old Testament law, trying your best to live by it, that you may be accepted with God. No, you won't. Not for one moment. You remain in this state under condemnation, even as the others. Why? Why? Because anything that is not totally according to God's free sovereign grace is of the flesh. And God will not accept anything of the flesh. For it is nothing but sin. It's nothing but iniquity. And he is of purer eyes than to behold wickedness and iniquity. Who shall ascend unto thy holy hill? Such as have a clean heart. A pure heart. Find me someone with a pure heart here. Find me someone with a pure fleshly heart. See, from the opposite to this great encouraging statement, which it is to the child of God, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. None whatsoever. The opposite to this encouraging statement found here. That those who are not in Christ, those who are not trusting Christ alone, are even still under condemnation. For only such as walk according to the Spirit, having been made alive in Christ Jesus, as we read a little later, they must have the Spirit of Christ. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. You may say you had some kind of a conversion. Unless you be born again, you're not converted. The question, first of all and foremost, is not, are you converted? It's, are you born again? Only such as walk according to the Spirit, having been made alive in Christ Jesus, born again even, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, are free from condemnation. Free, completely, utterly free, at liberty. Secondly, when the apostle says, who walk not after the flesh, the Holy Spirit is not just referring here to the flesh in the sense of us being sinners in the flesh by nature. As indeed, yes, in the flesh, there dwells no good thing. And yes, all true Christian children, all true children of God, know the battle raging within, between the spirit and the old man of sin. But here is the misinterpretation by so many of this passage of scripture. Totally missing the point. Totally missing the whole teaching here. Which indeed encourages so many to continue on in their works, so-called Christianity, that does no good to their soul. No, this is not what is spoken of here. It's not talking about the total depravity of our nature per se. Though that's involved. It's talking about those who are walking by the flesh in religion. It's talking about those who are walking by the flesh seeking to live a godly life, seeking to even live a Christian life. The whole context of the passage tells us that. For God's word here speaks of all free will works religion. That which tells you you do something. And in return, it's not of grace, it's of debt. That you've done something and you earn it. All free will works religion. Whatever name it goes by. Whatever name it goes by. Christian or otherwise, is what it means to walk after the flesh. It's walking after the flesh. Saying that you're walking in some kind of a faith, but it's after the flesh. It's not after the spirit. It's after your will. It's not after a new nature made in Christ Jesus. Christian or otherwise, no religion is exempt from this charge. If it depends upon your works and teaches any form of legalism and following after some kind of a law, It keeps you under condemnation. But there's not one single righteous act that you can perform that God will accept. And so you remain under condemnation if this be what you trust in. Whether that righteous act be, I have decided to follow Jesus, or whether it be following another world religion, then there's no difference. It's following after the flesh. See verse 2 here. For the law of the Spirit, notice this expression, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. What is that talking about? Well, the law of sin and death is talking about the law given through Moses. The Mosaic law. This law is never called that which brings life. You will never find it throughout the scriptures. Where this law is referred to, it is never that which brings life. Never. It only condemns. It was given to condemn sin. It was given to reveal sin. By the works of the law is the knowledge of sin, not the knowledge of salvation. But on the contrary, there is a different law spoken of here. It's referred out to elsewhere in the New Testament as the perfect law, not of condemnation, not of legalism, not of chains, the perfect law of liberty. That's the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. That's the only law. That's the only law that brings life. The apostle says in 2 Corinthians 3:6, what he was sent to do was to preach the good news from God. Not of the letter, he says, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The letter is speaking of the letter of the law given through Moses. Preaching law, you see, never brings spiritual life. Never. And cannot perfect anyone in the faith. I was going to say a few friends gone, but I think they've all gone already. This law given by Moses came, you see, to reveal sin. That by perfect divine justice, rightly so, sin be condemned. Sin was sin already, but the law came to reveal sin and condemn sin. And sin is condemned. God is right. God is just. God is absolutely right to condemn sin. And if you be not in Christ Jesus from eternity past, if he be not your Redeemer, if you not be safe in him, the ark of salvation, God is right to condemn you. When Paul says we who are not under condemnation are free from the law, it is that we do not live under it. We're not under its sway. Galatians 3, does it not say, when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem, to set free, to ransom, to set at liberty them that were under the law. No longer under the law is the child of God. As there is only condemnation, you see, to them who live by any part of that law, seeking to find righteousness in any way with God, acceptance in any way, to please God in any way by any of the works of that law, it only brings condemnation. Who walk after the flesh. That's what this is talking about. walking after the flesh, the fleshly way of religion, the fleshly way of works, the fleshly way of making ourselves right with God by legalistic works. See why those who seek to live by the Ten Commandments or any part of the Old Testament law remain under condemnation. Galatians 3, 10 to 11 is very strong. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. The just shall live by faith. By faith. By faith. The scriptures say, for the child of God, it is from faith to faith. Faith to faith. How many people, deceitfully and maybe unknowing as well, ignorantly, not knowing the word of God, come out with such statements, well, this is the Sabbath. The Sunday is the Sabbath, for instance. It's not the Sabbath. It's not the seventh day. It's the first day. Oh, but it's moved. The first day, or rather the seventh day, is moved to the first day. So our calendar's all over the place. It's moved. They've moved God's law around. And they move other bits around. And then they say, well, yeah, we're not liable to keep this part of the law, but we're liable to keep that part of the law, which they decide you're to keep. When God says about his law, it is one. It is one. It is not to be divided. He says, if you want to live by law, you keep the whole law. And you know, as God says here, it is evident. It is evident. You know. You know for sure. You cannot keep God's law fully. You just know. It's evident. And so if you remain under any law, you are under its condemnation still. And if that law means that you chose to do this, that God required you to do this to receive salvation, whatever the mumbo jumbo that's proclaimed today, that God offers this and God offers that, but he can only do this if you do that, is law. And as is taught in such falsehood, it depends on you to keep yourself in that way of salvation. And so in that, you remain in condemnation. If your salvation, if your spiritual walk depends upon any choice, any action you think you made, or by doing anything to instigate God saving you, you remain under condemnation. As much as anyone following all manner of false gods. How can I say that so? Because those who are the true people of God, the true children of God, are those who were dead in trespasses and sins. If you believe you did anything to instigate God saving you, we will all take a trip to Figs Moss Cemetery right after this service, and we will all stand there and command corpses to raise from their graves. And I'm serious. Dead is dead. That which is dead can perform nothing. Otherwise, Nicodemus would have risen from his grave at the very crying, at the very weeping of Christ. It was only when the command came forth, Nicodemus, come forth. He heard the words of grace. He heard the words of command of the Son of God that he must obey, because he was made alive. You must be made alive to perform anything spiritual. Yes, if you think you did something, you're not saved. And you remain under condemnation as much as anyone following all manner of false gods or even trusting no god. For the Jesus who is not sovereign over everything, the Jesus who is not in control over everything, the Jesus who does not do everything, the Jesus who is not sovereign over saving and perfecting his people, who needs somehow people to do something to respond, is not God. And you can underline that. And there are many of these Jesuses proclaimed today. They are not the Lord mighty in battle. They are not the Lord of hosts. They are not God Almighty. But God Almighty demands absolute holiness, absolute righteousness, which cannot be performed in the flesh. It is evident. Romans 8:8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. No matter what the religion is, no matter what the way, no matter what the denomination of Christianity it may be, if it be a work of the flesh, if it be a work of your will, you do not please God. But thirdly, see what makes the difference and who are the true disciples of Christ. Is that you? Are you a true disciple of Christ? This is the difference. The opposite to condemnation. Justification. Justification unto righteousness and holiness. Being acceptable in God's sight. Totally. Such as are called to believe on the Son of God by faith are, not will be, are justified. What does justified mean? To be declared absolutely not guilty, free from guilt, guiltless from all crime before God. Guiltless before God from all sin. Yes, sinners declared guiltless before Almighty God. How is it so? The sin which condemns, the scriptures tell us in Romans 4, is not imputed. Meaning not held to your account, not held against you anymore. He remembers it no more. If you be in Christ. We see in Galatians 3 verse 11, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. As you saw in the notes, those of you who get the notes, daily readings, this statement is repeated 3 times in the New Testament. So important it is. These words that were given to Habakkuk the prophet. the just shall live by faith. Just, justified, righteous, good, and holy. To live believing Christ is to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If anybody be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away. The old way of following and seeking to live by our own way, but to seek to live by the way of the Spirit, having been made alive. We cannot do that unless we be made alive by the Spirit. We cannot walk in the Spirit unless we have the Spirit of Christ. We cannot walk in the Spirit unless we are alive, unless we have been risen, unless we've been born again. And indeed, we have no condemnation, not one bit, no condemnation to fear. It's gone. Works placed upon the backs of believers now, as you see in the New Testament, as you see now. Works placed on the backs of true believers on the Lord Jesus Christ only brings hardship and pain, and would even seek to shake their assurance of faith. No, those who are in Christ Jesus are free from all condemnation. We walk in liberty. That liberty, of course, is not a liberty that causes us to live as we like. But the love of Christ constrains us to live for him. Not by law, but by love. And we're free from condemnation. Why? Why are we free from all condemnation? If in Christ? Because if you belong to Christ, or rather, as it is put here, better, if you are in Christ. In Christ. You must be in him. You can't place yourself in him. You must be in him. You must belong to him. If you be in Christ, your sin has been condemned already. 8 souls were saved in the ark. They were in the ark, who typifies Christ. The condemnation came down and it fell upon the whole world and upon the ark, typifying Christ, who indeed bore the condemnation of his elect's sin. Only those who are in Christ are the elect, who were in him from the foundation of the world. For what the law could not do, we read here in Romans 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. We read earlier on the full chapter here. And you see a little bit later on, it says, who is he who condemns? A curious statement there. Who is he who condemns? It says Christ. Christ. And when you look at those words and you don't read them in context with the rest of the passage, you're confused. Christ condemns? Christ condemned sin in his own body. As we read here. In his own body on the tree. He condemned sin in his own flesh. That's why God justifies the elect. He holds nothing against the elect of God. He doesn't condemn. Who shall condemn? Not even God. We said earlier on, the law was given for this purpose, to reveal sin and that sin would justly be condemned. And on that cross, God justly condemned. He condemned you who are in Christ. But he condemned you in a substitute redeemer. You were condemned. The gospel is not believe Jesus and you'll just get off scot-free. No, the gospel is in keeping with the truth of God's justice. For at the cross, Christ was made, God was made just and justifier of everyone who believes. All sin must be condemned. And sin was condemned. You who believe Christ, you were condemned in him at the cross. What an amazing thought. What an amazing truth. But it is so. You who are in Christ and are trusting him alone for righteousness with God cannot be condemned. Why? Why can you not be condemned? See again from verse 4. Why Christ suffered for us at the cross. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. It doesn't just say by him, does it? Does it say by him? It was. It was fulfilled by him. He kept the whole law. In all his 30 plus years here on this earth, he kept the whole law perfectly. The only man who ever kept the law of God. It was kept by him. He kept the law of justice at the cross. He fulfilled the law. He said, I came to fulfill. But what does it say here? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who believe. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the fulfilling, after the spirit. You who trust the Son of God have fulfilled the law in Christ. These things are too wonderful. Fulfilled, I believe, is what God's word says here. Fulfilled. Fulfilled says it's finished. As surely as Christ cried out from the cross, it is finished. And as God will in no wise clear the guilty, so also his justice cannot, it just cannot condemn any who be righteous. Right, good and holy. And God's word says those who are trusting Christ, the law is fulfilled, the righteousness is fulfilled in us. In fact, Romans 3 says, by faith, we fulfill the law. By faith on Christ. And this is why the ones born again of the Spirit, not trusting in works of the fleshly will, cannot be condemned. Cannot. It's impossible. As surely as God is God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Well, I'm going to lay many things to my own charge. I know myself. I know my sin. I know my struggle. I lay many things to my charge. You know it's true as well, don't you? But you who are in Christ, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect, to his chosen? It is God that justifieth. I do believe he cannot lay anything to the charge of the one he says is not guilty. Because Christ Jesus did bear the sins of his elect on the cross, these ones who are the called according to his purpose, who know the call of his grace, and believe, have been given new life in the Spirit to trust in his finished work. That one sacrifice made at the end of the ages, which we're told is a sweet smelling savour unto God. In Christ, you who belong to Christ fulfilled all righteousness in him, are completely righteous in him, and are a sweet smelling savour unto God, are justified, declared not guilty before God's justice, and cannot be condemned. And so there is no condemnation, therefore, now, to them who are in Christ Jesus, not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, made alive in the Spirit. As surely as Christ was risen again by the power of the Spirit, the same Spirit who dwells within his people, has made us alive in him. If you are trusting Christ, you know you are not condemned, because you have peace with God. You know if you have peace with God. We can talk about many things, but you only know. And if you know, you know. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Are you following? Are you following after your fleshly will and works to be right with God? Are you? Do you think there's anything that you do, that you perform, is making you right with God? Is there? Is there? Well, I've missed a trick somewhere. If so, sadly, you remain under condemnation. And you are in danger of the judgment. There are some who remain in condemnation because they are not belonging to Christ. They are not in Christ. There are many who are in Christ who know not that they are in Christ, and they must be brought to believe, and they will. And if you be trusting Christ Jesus alone, you have no condemnation to fear. And if you are brought to believe on Christ Jesus alone for all righteousness, and confess yourself right now as nothing but sin, you are accepted in him as perfection. That's what God says. I find it hard to believe, but that's what God says. All fell into sin in Adam, and the law given through Moses rightly condemns all found to be the children of Adam, found to be sinners, which is everyone. But there is another, Jesus Christ, the God-man, God manifest in the flesh. He is called the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. And there are a people who are in him, who always have been in him. They were his from eternity past, elect and chosen according to sovereign grace. And although fallen, although made sinners in Adam, the elect of God, for whom Christ gave himself at the cross, are not condemned eternally. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Christ, shall many be made righteous. Romans 5. Are you free from condemnation? Trust in Christ. Trust in Christ, you know it is so. God has told you. God speaks peace to your soul if you be trusting Christ. And as we read, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You can say also, if you are trusting him alone. The Lord Jesus spoke to those unbelieving religious folk. And sadly, those folk that he spoke to at this particular time, he said, you believe not because you are not of my sheep, because you're not in me, because I didn't come for you. And they are the ones he speaks of when he says in John 3:18, him who believeth not is condemned already. That's a sad position to be in. I pray that that is not you. The only thing that I know for certain is the positive statement of the gospel. Believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. Believe Christ. Believe Christ Jesus alone, God's Son. Believe that Christ and him crucified sets you free from all condemnation. Believe your sin is condemned in him already. And know yourself to have passed from all condemnation. Or be sure of this, you will be condemned. And you will be condemned as Cain was rightly condemned. If you believe not, Jesus says you are condemned already. But them who believe on the Son of God, even right now, there is therefore now no condemnation. I pray that that will be your testimony, even right now.